Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. Oh, wait. That's my Natalie impression. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, in the universe, as it were, because we have had we've had a couple of emails from Mars, so I have to say universe. All right. What? Oh, the producers are saying enough with the comedy, so, or attempts at it. Welcome to Realty Universal Radio, again, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. Randy Zachary, my name, Natalie Mullinex, is the president and founder of Realty Universal, and, of course, the website realtyuniversal.com. And Natalie is flying today, had a flight switched, and is, as we speak, probably in that security line. I will attempt to fill the big shoes, the big high heels. I'm not going to wear high heels, but I will attempt to fill the big shoes of Natalie and share some information that she wanted me to pass along today. And it regards baby boomers. And by the way, before we dive in here, I just want to let you know, coming up, probably about 20 minutes or so in the second portion of the broadcast. Of course, our aim is always to motivate, inspire, mobilize you to be the change that you seek in the world. I think it was Gandhi that said that, right? Be the change that you seek. And so it starts kind of with, you know, you and me. And so the second half of the show, as always, we do that. We've talked to, you name it, we've talked to missionaries and motivational speakers and life coaches and all kinds of folks, authors. And so joining us in the second half today, my very good friend, Athena Moberg, from the island of Maui in the state of Hawaii in the ocean called Pacific. And she's going to join us. She is with the Maui business development team, and she is also a life coach and motivational speaker. And she's going to be talking to us about the aloha method of living. You know, people say, you know, live aloha. Wow, what does that mean, really? You know, and the word aloha has all kinds of connotations and meanings, frankly, in Hawaiian when you translate it to English, and it means hello, it means love, all kinds of things, bless you, blessings, just, and, but I digress. what? Okay, the producers are saying, yeah, move along. So, the point is that she's developed, really, a teaching that kind of breaks out the aloha method, you know, in terms of, okay, we say live aloha, what does that mean? What does it mean to live aloha? So she's gonna bust that out for us in the second portion of the program. In this first half, again, we talk real estate, and Natalie wanted me to pass along some information to you. You may be an agent, a broker. You may be a baby boomer, and the conversation these first few minutes today is about baby boomers, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, the definition of a baby boomer is a generation whose birth spanned the years between 1946 and 1964, so currently ranging in age from 49 to 67 years of age, and I am in that group. I am 56 years old, and so there I said it out loud. I am 56 years old, so I am officially right in the middle of that baby boomer group. And what we have to share today is thought-provoking for me as a baby boomer. And if you're an agent, if you are a broker in the real estate arena, a financial planner, or maybe somebody who knows a baby boomer, the information you're going to hear today in these first few moments is going to be very, very helpful to you. So let's kind of look at this group for a minute before we talk about what could be an issue here in the next 10 to 20 years, really even sooner, you know, for those on kind of the upper fringe of that baby boomer group. So, but this group will soon constitute one half of the U.S. population, one half. And it's almost completely been ignored by the real estate industry. And yet baby boomers bring home $2 trillion, with a T, $2 trillion dollars a year, and take credit for half of the discretionary spending. Now, here's some more facts, Toids, for you. They control 70% of all the wealth in this country, baby boomers. That'd be us, although I don't have a lot of it. Anyway, they also represent half of all credit card use, half of all credit card use. They own almost 80% of all financial assets, do baby boomers. 80% of all financial assets. They purchase 50% of all luxury cars and 73% of all hybrid cars sold in the U.S. That's an interesting fact. 50% of all luxury cars, 73% of all hybrid cars. Now, you've got leading edge baby boomers, and they're the folks age 58 to 67, so I'm not quite in that group yet. That constitutes about 38 million Americans. So why are we talking baby boomers? Well, let's, you know, as regards real estate, as regards financial planning, and again, whether you're a baby boomer, you know, if you're, of course, the son or daughter of a baby boomer, the information we're going to share with you here now is pretty important stuff, really, and it was kind of eye-opening and thought-provoking for me. Get this. In the coming years, baby boomers are, of course, going to be moving on, and they will want to do what? More than likely, many of them, sell their homes. And here's the conundrum. We're hoping that there are folks behind us to buy the homes, right? I mean, you would expect in big metros, of course, L.A., San Francisco, Atlanta, Dallas, whatnot, the buyers will be there. But elsewhere in shrinking and stagnant cities, which, you know, more and more are you know, in that category, here in California, the city of Stockton, which I guess would be described as a, you know, a medium-sized city on national standards, you know, has just declared bankruptcy. So, and that, of course, has all kinds of repercussions in surrounding areas in Central California and Northern California. And so in shrinking and stagnant cities across the country, there's going to be, according to experts, kind of predicting this possible, you know, I was going to use the word tragedy, not tragedy, this possible problem is that there won't be buyers for what they're calling the great senior sell-off, which is imminent, according to experts. So baby boomers, or we'll call them senior citizens, And I do get my, I think at 55, some people consider you a senior citizen. I do get, I think at Long's Drugs and Walgreens, I think I get a senior discount. Pretty cool. I'm waiting for the free popcorn. I think that kicks in at 60 at the movie theater. But for now, I'll take the discount. The point again is that the great senior sell-off is happening and is going to be happening in cities, you know, smaller, medium size, and large markets. By the way, the number 347-945-5428, just in case you did want to chime in, we know from looking at the stats that 95% of our listeners are archived listeners, meaning you guys listen, on demand, which is where the world's going. You know, everything's on demand. That way, from TiVo to smartphones and radio, it's really all now listen when you can. And so we get that. But if you are listening live and Blog Talk Radio affords you the opportunity here, because they do give you this call-in number, 347-945-5428 is the number. And again, Randy Zachary in for Natalie Mullenix, president and founder of Realty Universal. She is traveling today and was going to call in from the airport and then got a flight switched. And so she is, I think, as we speak, you know, in one of those security lines, love and life. But I'm filling in today and passing along some of this information. And then, of course, in the second segment here in a few moments, Athena Moberg will join us from the island of Maui. Now back to this baby boomer conundrum. There you go. I've got the word conundrum. Back to the baby boomer conundrum. Got to be careful how I say that. I live in a small town in Northern California, you know, 150,000 folks. And in this small town, recently, there has been an acute lack of inventory in terms of the housing market. So folks are getting asking price, and which is creeping up toward actual home value. And so, and here's how I'm going to just personalize all of this information we've just assimilated, because it made me think. I'm sitting here in a small town, Northern California, and I'm kind of in the middle of the baby boomer deal. And the challenge, because of the housing crisis, because of our economy, I won't get political here, but okay, because of our Congress and our White House, I'll just lump them all in together. We've got financial problems in this country. And the big concern among baby boomers is, you know, can we sell our homes? Will people coming behind us have the jobs, have the, the credit, the income, the wherewithal to buy the homes that we're going to be putting on the market? Interesting. So, but again, I'm sitting here in Chico thinking, well, right now in our small town, even though it's definitely been through challenges financially like every other small town, in terms of the real estate market, there's a lot of inventory. And so folks are getting way better prices than they were a couple of years ago. And so I'm just saying, it gives me pause to say, well, maybe rather than get caught in the great senior sell-off in 5 to 10 years from now, maybe we ought to do that now. By the way, if this is interesting and or scaring you and you want more information, of course you can go to realtyuniversal.com, not only for more information, but to contact folks there as well who can help you kind of sort this out, for you, because obviously every situation is different. There are reasons for selling a house. There are reasons for keeping a house. You know, you may want to pass it on, you know, and it's really, therefore, you're not going to really ever be interested in selling it yourself as a baby boomer or, you know, as a senior citizen. And that's kind of where, you know, I think Monica and I fall into place because we've been involved in church work and youth ministry, pastoral ministry, marriage, you know, counseling, and just going to be honest, we you know, we're not rich. We don't have a lot of money in the bank, but we do have. And so when I think in terms of, you know, what we're passing on to our kids, this house kind of becomes important to us in that regard. So, you know, I put that in the equation for us personally as an example of, you know, sorting out all this information. If my plan is really to hang on to this thing and give it to, you know, pass it on to our kids so that at least we pass along, you know, something of value financially to them, then then really the great senior sell-off and the whole baby boomer thing not as frightening. So again, you think about it: a million and a half to 2 million homes coming on the market every year at the end of this decade from senior citizen households, and who's going to buy them? And the question again is, there's going to be a glut of homes, right? I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but I can kind of see that coming. According to data from the American Housing Survey, from 1989 to 2009, 80% of new homes built in an era were detached single-family homes. A third of them were larger than 2,500 square feet, and most startling is that 40% were built on lots of half an acre to 10 acres in size. 40%. So he says 74% of new housing demand will come from the people who bought these homes, now empty nesters wanting to downsize. So that's where, again, the bottleneck, if you will, the challenge is going to come. Not just selling off, but, you know, selling to downsize is really, the reason for that group, if you will, of empty nesters. So essentially, what does it all mean? I mean, what they're saying is that the next housing crash, really, they're predicting the next housing crash in and around the year 2020. In and around the year 2020. So that's kind of the challenge. But again, the problem, as we said before, is that because of the economy, because of the recent real estate, you know, challenges, right, in the lending arena, the banks, the challenge is baby boomers, those folks in the, you know, 47 to 64-year-old range, who for a variety of reasons are going to be selling off their homes over the next, you know, 5 to 15, 20 years, are not going to have anybody to buy them. And so they're predicting, and interesting. And again, we always kind of tie things back to the spiritual here. And we even do that sometimes on the front, you know, front portion, first half of the show here, because, and it's interesting, and forgive me, but I come from that, you know, background as a pastor and a person of faith that, you know, all this stuff, you know, was predicted, you know, and is predicted in the Bible that, you know, there's some verses that talk about, you know, basically describe the inflation we're experiencing, where it says, you know, a piece of bread, you know, will buy a bag of gold and those kinds of things. And it's happening, you know, it's obviously prices going up and up and up and up. And saw a thing the other day by Francis Chan, a quote by Francis Chan, wrote a bunch of great books. You know, a notable Crazy Love was one of them that he wrote. And he talked about how people who are in America, and we all talk about how broke we are, but he said if you're making $4,000 a month, I think it's like 100 times more than, I think it's 60 or 70% of the people on this planet. So in the scheme of things, Americans are very, obviously very, very wealthy. We look around, and of course, you know, it's all relative. But so some food for thought. And again, if you are interested, if you've been intrigued, if you've been, you know, frightened to some extent by some of these statistics, this is something I hadn't even thought of, and I'm a baby boomer, that baby boomers in the next 5 to 15 years going to be looking to sell their homes because they're empty nesters, they want to downsize, maybe they just want to offload some assets and get some cash in the bank. And because of a variety of reasons, the folks coming behind us with the unemployment issues, the banking industry issues, I'm just going to say it again, our Congress and White House leadership challenges, it's just like a, I'll say perfect storm, but imperfect storm, if you will, for folks not being able to buy the homes that are going to be flooding the market in the next 5 to 15 years as the baby boomers attempt to sell off homes. So something to think about, again, whether you're a baby boomer, whether you're a real estate agent, you know, or broker, or maybe a child, friend of a baby boomer, you might get them thinking about what's the plan with the house. If they're wanting to keep it, like I said, like we want to keep it for our kids, because we don't have a lot of liquid assets in terms of cash to pass along, but we've kind of fought long and hard to stay in our house when everybody else in the world, it seems like, was walking away from mortgages. You know, we fought long and hard to keep this house, and now I do see it as a way for us to pass along something of financial value to our kids. So I think as tempting as it might be to go, wow, we need to sell this baby before the big crash comes, the big glut of homes on the market from baby boomers, I think we kind of have our plan. We'll see. But you might want to talk to that baby boomer you know and love and ask them what maybe their plan is. Anyway, go to realtyuniversal.com. Again, the website, Randy Zachary in for Natalie Mullinex, who is, like I said, probably in a security line right now somewhere on the East Coast, could not join us today, but really glad she passed along this information because it is pretty eye-opening stuff. So on the other side, I cannot wait. My good friend Athena Moberg is joining us from the island of Maui, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff as we typically do, but we are especially going to talk about a very cool modality called the Aloha Method. So stay tuned. She is an Alohapreneur and a self-described Alohapreneur and very much involved with the business community on the island of Maui. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this from Michael Hyatt.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that will give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A five-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. Two planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/lifeplan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the life plan adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading, and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long, I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of a class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com. It's time for Ask Coach Dave. Dave Ferguson is a master coach, speaker, and change agent. And now, another installment of Ask Coach Dave.
Today's question comes from Lynette in St. Louis, Missouri. Lynette says, "Hey, Coach Dave, can you talk to me about how I can add value to not only my business, but my customers' business?" Lynette, great question. I get asked that a lot from my current clients. And you know, adding value from a business standpoint is supposed to be all about giving more to your customers, putting more into your products, and increasing and improving your services. You know, done properly, you would think a well-tuned business would be able to beat the competition, increase market share, and increase profits. But that's not always the case. You know, while a company's continuous drive to add value is applauded, I believe there's a better way to add value to your business. That way is creating uniqueness around your business. I mean, anyway, shouldn't you be giving your customers the maximum value already?
Thanks, Coach. Are you looking for winning strategies? Are you a goal-getter? Check out AskCoachDave.com.
Yeah, buddy. AskCoachDave.com. My man, Dave Ferguson. And, again, frankly, just in full disclosure, he is one of my coaches. And I just Facebooked him today and said, "Man, I so appreciate," and I said, "Okay, and love you for the daily kick in the derriere that I get from you." He's one of those guys you know, not a touchy-feely dude, although he can be, but he's one of those guys, you know, hey, you know what, get her done. Just what are you crying about, you know? And for touchy-feely guys like me who could kind of sit around and, you know, gaze at their navel, you know, all day long. I need guys like that in my life. And somebody else who's crossed paths and with Monica and I, and we just have grown to love and frankly going to be partnering with, again, in full disclosure, here very, very soon on the island of Maui with a radio project. Athena Moberg joins us from Maui. She is an alohapreneur, and we'll break that down for you in a few. She's going to be talking about a modality that's called the Aloha Method. And everybody talks about, oh, live aloha, cool, what does that mean? Well, we're going to break that down for you so you can kind of understand the depth and breadth of that. It's pretty powerful stuff. That word is very powerful. It's been, of course, commercialized like so much in America. But I digress and ramble on. Athena, welcome.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much for the great introduction.
Yeah, you know, well, I could have done more, but our time is short, and I want to give you as much time as possible. We're really excited, you know, about partnering with you here coming up very, very soon on the island there with all your work that you do with, you know, with local businesses. And you're also a life coach, you know, a speaker, an author. And at this point, MauiBusinessDevelopment.com is the website, correct? Is there another contact place for you at this point, or is that the best?
That's probably the best, or anyone can just reach me directly on my email at Athena@MauiBusinessDevelopment.com.
And Facebook. You're on Facebook, right?
I'm on Facebook, Athena Moberg.
We're Facebook buddies. We're friends on Facebook.
Which means we're really friends.
It means it's deep, yeah. I love the way they say now when you friend somebody, it says, do you know them outside of Facebook? No. But
it begs the question, so is that what people are doing now? Are they really reaching out to people they don't even know, and they're just like, can I be your friend?
Yeah, I figured out the LinkedIn scam. The LinkedIn scam, it's not a scam, but it's a strategy. There we go. It's a strategy. Because I have all these recommendations from people I don't know on LinkedIn, right?
Uh-huh.
I go to my LinkedIn page. I have like over 500 connections, and probably half of them to two-thirds I know and have been involved with others, you know. But and I've got all these recommendations from people who have no idea who I am. But I think what the deal is it's kind of like, well, now you're supposed to go and recommend them, right, is the way that works. And I don't know them, so how can I recommend them, you know? Anyway.
Interesting. No, I definitely am. I'm seeing the trend for sure, which is kind of why if we're going to just talk about social media, since we're, you know, social media on radio social media, you know, everything social media related, right?
Yeah.
Twitter is just simple. I mean, they're just simple. You either follow someone or you don't. You either read what they say or you don't. They either follow you or they don't. It's just simple.
And that's what it is. It's the rest of it gets a little convoluted.
I think so. I mean, I'm a Facebook fan. I do love Facebook, and I see the value that it adds to the business community and the even just interpersonal relationships. You know, people that you don't get to see on a regular basis. I live on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, farther from any other piece of land than anyone else in the world. We're that remotely located. We're farther from land than anywhere else in the world. So it's cool to have social media like Facebook, and I get to keep up with my son as he's enlisted in the Marine Corps and he's getting ready to deploy in November. And I asked him, you know, am I going to be able to keep up with you on Facebook while you're deployed? And his answer is like, you know, he's still a teenager, even though he's 20. He's like, hello, Mom, I'm not going to be incommunicado. I'm going to be on Facebook.
Hello.
Hello, Mom.
That's funny. That's so cool. Yeah, it is. And it's a brand new, you know, a brand new world. And, I want to spend time at some point breaking down, you know, some of what we're doing. And by the way, folks, be listening, because Athena and I will be somewhere on the internet, on the radio and TV in the weeks and months to come. So it's going to be pretty exciting. You've got so much, and I really want to get to this Aloha Method, because it's really, really cool, and it's a simple, and I love that it's something that you can, you know, you can hang your hat on. It's a takeaway kind of aha, not a ethereal aha, you know, but a practical aha. Wow. Okay. Boom, boom, boom. Here's these questions. Here's these questions I ask myself. Am I living the Aloha Method, and am I being fulfilled and living on purpose and all those things? So I'm going to let you take it away, teacher. I want you to share with us what the Aloha Method is.
Thank you so much. Well, yesterday I had a speaking engagement, and I was telling Randy off the air, I had put my heart and soul into this incredible PowerPoint presentation so that people would really be able to grasp what the Aloha Method was, and it just didn't work. The technology was not meshing with the projector, and so here I was standing in front of this huge group of people, and I got the amazing, incredible, perfect opportunity to just speak from my heart, and it was awesome because I would have been distracted staring at my own PowerPoint presentation that I put my heart and soul into, so it was actually it was a blessing in disguise. So my husband came to support me because he's my most amazing cheerleader and fan, and it was great. I just connected with him in the back of the room and really just reached everyone on a personal level. And I'm just going to just go for it and tell you basically what it is, and then I'll break it down and then I'll tell you what it is. So 3 in the morning, several months back, I like am woken up in the middle of the night. And I'm a creative person. I think in pictures. I think in colors. I think in shapes. I think of stuff. I see big, big visions. And my whole, like, thought process is like a movie and playing out and whatever. Not words. I wake up and I have these words. I'm like, it's 3 in the morning. I got to write these words down. I'm like, what in the world is this? And I can't sleep because I keep thinking about these words. I'm like, what are these words? This is weird. And so I have to get up and write all of this stuff down. So I write it all down. And then I realized the next day, like 9 in the morning, on very little sleep, I'm like, wow, this is really, really cool. And so I'm reading through all of this stuff, and basically I'm able to turn it into an acrostic or an acronym, which I do not think in letters or words or acrostic. Like, that's just not the way I think at all. So it was really kind of a different way for me to process information. And so the letters in the word Aloha, A-L-O-H-A, and I have a coaching practice. I'm a life coach and a business coach here on the island of Maui. I have a heart for the business community here, specifically the entrepreneurs that really just need encouragement and are failing every day because they don't have the tools necessary to run their businesses in a way that supports them. So I have introduced this new modality into every one of my clients, and I have had 100% success rate. Everybody has had incredible results, and I don't know anything that has 100% success rate, so I was super stoked. So the A in Aloha, the first A, stands for attitude, and you really just sort of check yourself and ask yourself, hey, you know, how's my attitude towards this situation, this client, this spouse of mine, this child of mine, this teenager, whatever situation you're in, attitude check. The L stands for listening. Not just listening, like while you're standing there texting and on Facebook and tweeting and checking to see how many people like the comment that you just posted because it's really cool. Like, really listening, like fully engaged listening, like you're actually giving people eye contact. Or people that walk by you and they're like, hey, how are you? And you turn around to tell them how you are and they're already gone. Like really asking, hey, how are you? And really, like, pausing to hear the response, you know, like you're really going to listen. Or even another really cool way that people do listening these days is they listen, but the whole time they're listening, they're thinking of what they're going to say in response to what you're saying. So they're really not listening. They're just waiting to speak. So guilty. And I'm talking to myself on all these things. I'm not, like, up on a soapbox, like, being all preachy. Yeah. I do it.
Yeah.
We all do it. So that's the A and the L, attitude and listening, and then the center of it all, O, being others-focused, really being other-centered instead of self-centered. Like, oh, I don't have any clients this week, or my phone's not ringing, or our bookings are low, or no one's coming to look at this property, or wow, you know. But it's as soon as we turn the focus off of ourselves, and we turn it on to other people, whether it's our clients, our prospective clients, our kids, our spouse, then all of a sudden everything else just falls into place because we're focused on the other person and not ourselves. So there's attitude, listening, others focused, A-L-O, and then H, honor. Are we honoring God or our higher power, as some people have so kindly pointed out to me? Not everybody believes in God, Athena. Okay, well, mostly everyone believes in something bigger than themselves. So are they honoring God? Are they honoring others? And are they honoring themselves? Now, it sounds like, oh, well, honoring myself, that's being selfish. It's like the opposite of the other focus thing. Well, it's not really. Because I had a client this week. She is so precious. She is a mom. She is a grandma. And bless her heart, she has no boundaries. She allows people to just walk all over her. She really is, she does honor God in all that she does, and she does honor others. But when it comes to honoring herself, it's completely foreign. She allows people to book up her whole schedule, to talk to her in tone of voice that's just inappropriate. And she just doesn't honor herself. She doesn't take that time to you know, go get her nails done or get a massage or go for a walk or meditate or pray or just anything. So that's really our focus over the last couple of weeks, is we're talking about if, her transitioning her thought process into how she can possibly honor God, others, and herself in what she's doing. So it's really awesome to see the growth in her. And which leads me to the last A, adding value. We always talk about this. Like, John Maxwell is amazing talking about adding value to other people's lives. And it's, to me, he's like a pioneer in that area, and I really just admire the fact that he has a very simple, sustainable business model. He travels the world, makes a difference in thousands and millions of people's lives. He writes a book about it and adds more value. He travels, he adds value to people's lives. He writes a book about it and adds more value. I mean, it's very simple, rinse and repeat. It's like he's focused on, he like lives the Aloha method, and he doesn't even know what that modality is yet. So I think it's just, it's awesome to me just to have, you know, read his books and to be involved in the community of people that are Maxwell coaches and certified in really, I mean, to me, adding value, it sort of sums up the whole Aloha method, even though the O is, you know, the center of it all. The first A for attitude, L, listening, being a fully engaged listener, O, being others-focused, H, honoring God, others, and yourself, especially, you know, really protecting that time that you have for yourself, honoring your commitments to yourself and having healthy boundaries, and then A, adding value, too. Rather than being a taker, like, oh, yeah, I don't work there anymore, it really wasn't for me, it wasn't the job for me, I wasn't getting what I needed, or I don't attend that church anymore because I wasn't getting what I wanted. I wasn't being fed or whatever the lingo is, you know. Rather than showing up with, like, what am I going to get out of this speaking engagement? How many clients am I going to get? Or, you know, showing up, oh, I'm going to this networking event. Like, I wonder how many business cards I can get. How many connections will I get? How many friends will I get on Facebook? It's like showing up with a spirit or a thought process of how you can add value to the conversation or the relationship is really, really a big deal. So that's the Aloha method. That's the heart of it. It's I'm in the process. I'm like 3/4 of the way done with the ebook that I have not gotten a date on when I will launch it yet. But I promised Natalie and you that I would tell you guys when that was going to happen. So. It's really exciting. I have a conference that I am, it's an Aloha conference where it's for the leadership, volunteer leadership and government employees of Maui County. So that's going to be in March, and I have lots of other things coming up before then that are just sharing with the world what the Aloha method is and how it can improve marriages and parent-child relationships and businesses, and it's incredible. I'm really excited to see the response that I've gotten, and I even did a survey. So the survey results would, like, I think the listeners right now, it would probably make them cry because it blew me away and made me cry. But yeah, what do you think, Randy? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, well, as you're going down, of course, all of these, you know, each one of these we could take an hour or two or a day, right?
Oh, yeah.
And break out, you know, all of the above. They're all worthy and have been, you know, the subject of books. And I love what you've done here, and you've said this before, you know, none of this is new, but it's taking truth and it's putting it in a very simple, you know, easy to follow way for somebody to check themselves, you know, in any given situation. So they just think aloha, right? And they just memorize that and say, you know, okay, you know, what, you know, and boom, go down the list. And that's so huge for me because I've been to seminars, and you, I know you have, where, you know, you're there all weekend and you take just pages of notes, and then you really never look at them again. You know, you just, and you have all of this wealth of information sitting somewhere up on your shelf. And I love that this is something somebody can take with them. You know, I could see you printing up little cards, you know, and just self-tests for people as they, you know, so they just keep it with them. And, hey.
I passed those out yesterday at my speaking engagement. It was awesome.
Yeah. It just,
little
business
card size.
Yeah. Just that's perfect because, you know, again, it's simple, but it's profound. And I love that about each of those. And you're right. I mean, each of those can be applied, you know, whether it's kids or an office, co-worker scenario, boss scenario, you know, marriage, all of the above. And then, of course, to tie it into where, you know, you are and, you know, and the whole aloha idea, because, you know, that's a word that's been, as I said earlier, it's been, you know, it's been commercialized and whatnot, but to live aloha, what does that mean? What does it mean to live aloha? You know, and that's what it means, to be loving, to be other-oriented. You know, Bob Berg's book, The Go-Giver. You know, and again, all these principles are scriptural. You know, I found in my experience, my last radio experience, where I was the development director at a listener-supported radio station in California, and morning guy, you know, If you wake up and go, oh, man, I got to go out and talk to business people about giving us money, and it's awkward, and, you know, how do I do that? Whoa. What if you, as you said earlier, what if your whole approach was, how can I add value to these people? How can I, you know, Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All this other stuff will happen if you are intentional about the aloha method. You know, I'll use the Zachary paraphrase, but, you know, if you're intentional about really wanting to add value to others, and I found that over and over that if that's your goal, that the rest of the stuff, you know, happens, the money takes care of itself. You know, John Maxwell says, you know, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care, and it's just true. And connecting with people at a deep level, you betcha it'll end up being lucrative financially, and it should be.
Yeah.
But that's not your driving motivation. And I know that's probably where a lot of salespeople struggle, because, you know, they want to believe that they're really helping other people, but really they've got a quota, they need to make so much money this month, you know, and you get kind of obsessed with that bottom line thing. But if you can really work on the mindset. And it, you know, let's just be honest, it's a spiritual thing. You know, you really, frankly, it's very, very difficult to do it without asking God to help you, because we're so stinking selfish, we human beings.
No, we are. And I love what you said earlier about how we could take like an hour or two or whatever just on each, whether it's attitude, listening, others focused, honoring, you know, God, others, and yourself in all that you're doing and adding value. My husband and I, I'm plugging him. I'm his biggest fan as well. But we are actually holding a Bible study at our house starting tonight. It's on Wednesdays, and we're so excited because ever since we got married 2.5 years ago, we have not had a home study. We've attended other people's home studies. Well, the topic of our home study is, I mean, everything that we are teaching is everything out of the Word, and it's all about the Aloha Method. Our Bible study is not called the Aloha Method, but it is all scriptures, and it's called Biblical Life Choices, and it's on the topics of attitude, listening, other-centeredness, honoring God, others, and yourself, and adding value to people's lives. Those are the five areas, and we're doing a six-week Bible study on it. 6 weeks. I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh, I'm excited.
Well, you're going to develop more and more material, more books, and, yeah, that'll be awesome.
It's going to be really great. Can I share with the listeners about the survey that went out? You were involved in the survey, Randy.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so I sent out, just to be sure that it was not just me, you know, being whatever, like, I wanted to send out a survey and just ask the general public about, you know, there were two questions, only two questions. What percentage of the people in your life have these five characteristics currently? You know, a great attitude, fully engaged listening, not easily distracted, really concerned about the well-being of others. They honor God, others, and themselves in the choices they make. And they're focused on adding value to others around them. Simple question, what percentage of the people you know? And then the second question was, if more people had those qualities, how would it impact our culture? Oh, my gosh. I thought people would just give me, like, because the first, when I went in to check on the survey, the first few answers I got were, like, one-word answers. Like, that would be awesome. That would be great. That sounds good. It would impact our culture. It would impact our culture in a positive way. And I thought, oh, man. Like, and I thought, you know, maybe I don't really have something here. Maybe I need to rethink this whole Aloha method thing, right? I sort of had one of those little moments of doubt. And then it hit social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it, out there, the whole thing. All these answers and survey results started coming in. People wrote paragraphs, Randy, about how there would be, and it went out to all ages, too. I had kids that were on there as well that were answering. There would be no more wars was one of the answers. The divorce rate would go down. There would be less starving children in the world. Other people would be modeling these behaviors for their kids, and it would change our entire future. The answers were like paragraphs of people just sharing their heart of what a difference it would make if people actually were intentional about having an attitude of gratitude, being a fully engaged listener in the home and in the workplace, really being focused on others rather than themselves, and then honoring God, others, and themselves when they make the choices that they make throughout the day, and being focused on adding value to others. Just to see people's heart and how important it was for them to share their thoughts, it was really, really, really special. So I'm excited. I'm still gathering survey results, and I'm still trying to break down, you know, which ones I'm using when I'm giving presentations. And, I just got the opportunity. I don't know if I told you, Randy. There is a business here on Maui that I'm a huge fan of. It's Ocean Light Force Chiropractic Maui. The owner, her name is Dr. Pat McLean, and she has given me a platform to come in on Aloha Fridays. I know on the mainland they celebrate Aloha Fridays as well. It's not just here. We get Aloha every day. But on the mainland where I used to live, it was everybody wore kind of an Aloha shirt or whatever. It was a little bit more casual. It was Aloha Friday. Everybody talks about Aloha Fridays on the radio and everywhere, right? So on Aloha Fridays, I have been given the opportunity to go into Ocean Light Force Chiropractic Maui, located in Dickinson Square in Lahaina, and share with the patients that come in and give them little cards that talk about the Aloha method. And in addition to that, she's encouraged me to record an Aloha meditation that's sort of like an affirmation. She has this thing called the biomat where people go after they get adjusted, and they lay there for 15 minutes, and they lay on this thing called the biomat, and they listen with earbuds to relaxing sound of like waves crashing or music and affirmations, like, you know, really being in a spirit of meditation or giving thanks, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she's given me the opportunity to record an Aloha method meditation.
Wow.
And I know. I never even thought of it. It was completely her idea Thank you, Dr. Pat. And I met with a musician and talked with him about, like, the sounds that I think that it should have. And anyway, it's sort of in the works. So it's pretty neat. It's pretty exciting. And she wants to put it on little, like, CDs where people can actually, like, buy it and take it with them when they leave.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. It's like this. It's growing.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, you find, you know, as you get out there, you find kindred spirits you know, it's true, you know, kind of birds of a feather, the old saying, flock together, and that's kind of a corny old saying, but I think it's true negatively and positively. I know as we've counseled, you know, hundreds and hundreds of couples over the years, and our own story is that, you know, and I don't pretend to know the reason why, but frankly, dysfunctional people are attracted to each other, right? I mean, you grow up being dysfunctional and maybe being abused, and you know, it's, everybody knows the statistics. Abused women tend to then marry guys who abuse them. It's just a weird deal. And but on the good side, so that's the negative side. You know, adult children of alcoholics are drawn to each other. Monica and I are both adult children of alcoholics, drawn to each other. Let the chaos begin. You know, but on the positive side, I think people are, you know, drawn to the good, you know, and kindred spirit thing. And I know that's why you and I have spent a year now literally on the phone talking about all of the above here. And it sounds like your doctor friend is a kindred spirit. And, you know, folks are there. They're everywhere. But on, you know, on Maui, I know it's a spiritual place. I mean, I hear that over and over again. I think, for a variety of reasons, more so than the mainland, sadly, it's a very spiritual place, and it can be. And so when you're in tune with, you know, what we would call the Holy Spirit, not just the Great Spirit, you know, you then connect with people. And so powerful. That's very cool. We've got like about a minute, so I'm going to give you the parting shot. Kind of, again, folks can hook up with you at MauiBusinessDevelopment.com, and she's on Facebook as well, Athena Moberg, M-O-B-E-R-G. But I'm going to let you take us out with a parting shot.
Wonderful. Thanks, Randy. Well, I would just encourage our listeners today, when they think about the word aloha, I would love for them to think about it differently. Pause and think aloha, and truly think about it as you ask yourself, how is my attitude? Am I being a good listener? Am I fully engaged? Am I other-centered? Am I a person of honor? And am I adding value to people's lives? That is my challenge to the listeners today, to really pause, think aloha. And my little tagline, it's only four words. If those are the things that you're doing, you are going to love life and you are going to live different. So, as Natalie would say, I wish you peace.
Good stuff!
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.